God, we commit the message to you tonight. Hide me behind the cross. I pray that we may learn more about you and your Bible. And Lord, we may just draw a little closer to you. Lord, we don't come on any of the services or preach any of the services just so we'll have more knowledge. But Lord, knowledge that should be able to be put into our life. Lord, I pray for it that there'll be change and maturity, and Lord, drawn closer to you. As a result of being here tonight, fill me with your Spirit. Simply means control me completely with your Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, now I need someone who has their Bible with them, and I need a volunteer. So if you have your Bible with you and you'd like to volunteer for something, you know, otherwise I'm going to have to do the Army way of volunteer. Okay, John, you going to volunteer?
Yeah, I'm going to volunteer.
Okay, all right. Well, get your Bible out of here if you don't mind. And then I need you to come up here for a moment. All right. And notice the shirt, the stylish shirt. I love my church, Oakmount. Yeah, okay. All right. So if you'd just stand right over here for just a moment.
No problem.
All right. So have y'all ever seen those Little Caesars advertising people? You know, they'll put like the Little Caesars sign on and they'll walk up and down trying to draw attention. Or sometimes I've seen them like with a fake guitar. And they're, I know I say that word weird, but forgive me. And it's like they're playing it, you know, they're trying to just get attention, right? Some of y'all seen that? If you've seen anybody that wore like a signboard on and walking up and down, even if you're around a Liberty Tax place, you know, they'll dress up like Lady Liberty. You know, it's usually the best I remember a guy that dresses up like the Statue of Liberty and walk. It's to draw attention, right? So John tonight is going to help with that, okay? So he has his Bible, okay? So he's going to hold it like that, but during the whole time he's going to stand there, okay, John? Going to stand there, and every time I mention the word Bible, you're going to hold your Bible up real high, okay?
Yes, sir.
So let's practice. Bible. That's a little slow, John. You can get a little quicker, okay? All right, here we go. Bible. Okay, then you put it back down, and then next time I say Bible, you pull it back up again. All right, so that's what we're going to do tonight. So it's just to keep your attention and everything, so just loosen up.
I'm loose,
all right.
I'm ready.
All right.
Put me in, Coach.
Turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter, you can actually be seated, John. I was just joking with you. I wouldn't do that to you. But really, let me tell you this. We have such an amazing book. We really ought to advertise how amazing it is. You know what I mean? We have a bunch of people in the world walking around looking for guidance and direction. And really, what they need is a good dose of this Bible. And so, really, just like they advertise Little Caesar's Pizza or Liberty Tax Preparation Place, really, we should advertise the Bible because this is an amazing book. Thank you, John. I appreciate that. You don't even have to do that much. You'll go home tomorrow and Marshall will have to help you out of bed and say, my shoulder is just so sore holding it up whenever he said Bible. Now, we're in a sermon series. We've been in it for a while and we're still in it. Can someone tell me, four-word title ends with a question mark. What have we been talking about? Amy Renee.
How big is God?
And how big is God? As I pondered about that a bit, of what God would have me talk about tonight on how big is God. Remember, we finished the track, you know, God's will. We finished that part, but we're still talking about how big God is. And really, it's not meant to be like a theoretical type of, oh, he's big. Yeah, he's big. I mean, it ought to be to the point that it changes my life and influences my life because God is so big. I'm going to listen to him, and whatever he says to do, I'm going to do. I'm going to listen to him. Whatever he says not to do, I'm not going to do. And when I'm worried and stressed, I'm going to turn it over to him because he's a big God. So I don't want it to be just a theoretical, you know, I have 16 points here of how big God is. No, it's like I want it to say, you know, my God is so big, he can handle it. He can handle anything. God's got this. Tonight, How Big Is God? Subtitle, He's Big Enough to Give Us the Bible. He's big enough to give us the Bible. Now, you know, I could throw a lot of words out there and say this is an amazing book, this is an awesome book, this is an all-inspiring book, this is a wonderful book, this is a grand book. But let me tell you, every single word that I'd throw out there pales in comparison to what this book really is. And it wasn't a simple, it's not a simple thing to put this Bible together. But God did. And we're going to talk about that. I have to lay some foundation, and then we'll go as far as we can tonight. If we have to unplug, we'll just unplug and continue on. But this is truly an amazing book. How big is God? He's big enough to give us the Bible. Point number one tonight, 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 14, 15, 16, and 17. A very familiar passage, but at some reminders as we lay the foundation that God is a big enough God to give us the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you would follow along. Paul, you got to remind yourself, it helps fill in the gaps when you say, who wrote the book, this book of the Bible in particular, who is he writing to, and for what purpose, okay? So who is writing the book, I ask you? Who is writing 2 Timothy? Paul, okay, the Apostle Paul. Now, who is he writing it to?
Timothy.
And what is Timothy's position at this point? He's a pastor, and he's pastor of the church at? No, you're close. At Ephesus, okay? The church at Ephesus. Now, we understand that Paul is a bit older than him. You know, I remember I've done some research on that. It seemed like that Paul might have been like in his 60s, and Timothy might have been like in his 30s. So it wasn't like Timothy's a teeny bopper, you know, really a teenager or something, but he's in it. So you got someone who's been through a lot, Paul, the first missionary, one of the apostles, had gone through so much imprisonments and beatings and shipwrecks for the Lord. And so he had so much wisdom to pass on to this younger preacher, all right? So keep that in mind, and let's look at verse 14. It says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly finished unto all good works. Now let me tell you, there's a lot of verses that are important to us that we need to know. But really, every single Christian ought to know where this passage is. If you're able, you ought to get it as best you can mentally, maybe memorize it. And all that. You say, well, that would take me a long, long time. Well, it would be worth it to take a long, long time, because we need to know. Because if we cannot establish that this is the Word of God, and I like to say this way, the very words of God, so that we just don't group it all together. I mean, the very words of God are recorded in this book. If we cannot establish that, how in the world can we establish any number of things that we believe, beginning at salvation? How can we establish that? Because you're going to encounter a lot of people that feel differently than we do. And they might go to XYZ church. It could be a really whacked out church. It could be a somewhat whacked out church. It could be a good church. But when you talk to them, beyond any church affiliation that we might have, it should be, but what does the Bible say? And sometimes I've used that. I may be talking to someone. I say, well, I know that you're whatever you are, and I am a Baptist, and let's put that aside for a moment. Let's forget that you're, say, Catholic or Methodist or Presbyterian or Lutheran, and put aside that I'm a Baptist, but let's just look at what the Bible says. And so every Christian ought to know these verses, because these verses tell us that this book was breathed in, the very words of this book were breathed by God, breathed into existence by the God that we know. So we should know this passage. So, everybody look up here. Where is this passage? Okay, I heard a lot of watermelon. I heard a lot of that, but I think most of you got it right. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and the verse in particular is 16, but we're looking at 14, 15, 16, and 17, okay? So we ought to know this. And if someone says, well, why do you believe the Bible is God's word? Well, if we didn't have the Bible, we could come up with the weirdest way to be saved ever was. Really? You know, I could say, well, we have an Indian mound out front of our church. So in order to be saved, you have to run up and down that Indian mound 3 times without falling. If you fall, it's all for naught. You know, and then I could say, well, you got to run down to the fellowship hall, and this week run the buffer for a little bit, right, Larry? You know, I could come up with some really whacked out, and a lot of people have, and maybe a little whacked out, a whole lot whacked out. Whichever, as long as it's not according to the Bible, it's wrong, okay? I don't care how acceptable it might be, but it's still wrong. So we need to know that God wrote the Bible, and that's what we base our life upon. That's what we base our salvation upon. That's what we base our relationships upon. That's what we base our future upon. It's all because God wrote the book. How big is God? He's big enough to give us the Bible. Point number one, God breathed the very words of the Bible into existence. That's the point. God breathed the very words of the Bible into existence. Now, excuse me, we're going to talk about these verses, and you've heard this before. If you've been in church a while, you've heard this, but maybe the light bulb will come on. Maybe it'll be a good reminder and say, oh yeah, I knew that, but every one of us, we should be able, really, every single one of us who claim the name of Christ ought to not only know the reference, we ought to be able to go to it and explain what it means. Really. It says in verse 14, as Paul, older Paul, wrote to younger Timothy, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. Now his mom was saved and his grandma was saved, right? We don't think Timothy's dad was saved. He was a Greek, but we don't think he was saved unless it happened later. Because Paul addresses Eunice and Lois, the two in his life, the two godly ladies, the mom and the grandma that had an influence and taught him right. But where did they get their teachings? From the Bible, from God, right? Now, the Bible wasn't completed at this point, but they had the Old Testament part of the Bible, right? And it prophesied Jesus, right? And so Timothy was taught right. And it says, but continue thou in the things which you have learned and you've been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them. Really, where had he learned them from ultimately? From God, right? Now that's pretty big. That's pretty big, that verse 14. He's talking to a preacher, but every single one of us can use that. Do you know how to live the best life you can live? Continue in the Bible. Do you know how you can have the best relationships with the people around you as possible? By continuing in the Bible. Do you know how you can have hope for the future? By continuing in the Bible. Do you know how you can face death without fear? By continuing in the Bible. I mean, basically, any question you got, continue in the Bible. Now, have you known people that have stopped continuing in the Bible, if you will, have veered from the Bible? How'd that work out for them? Maybe you've done that at some point. You say, well, you know, there was a time. You know, if you ask God to forgive you, it's under blood. It's under the blood, that is. It's forgiven and move on. But some would say, I spent a time, I rebelled against God. You talk to people all the time, it says, well, you know, I was brought up in church. I got saved, truly saved. I know saved, beyond a shadow of doubt saved. But then I got in my teenage years maybe, or my 20s, and I started to wonder a little bit. And I didn't really. But then God got a hold of my heart, and I asked him to forgive me. I was still his child, and I asked him to wash that slate clean all over again and say, okay, I want to serve you. I want to be used to you, and now I'm serving the Lord. So again, I would encourage you not to be, what's the word? Not to be hung up that you strayed for a while or rebelled against God. If you've asked God to forgive you, learn from it, move on. And if God's forgotten it, don't you think it's a good idea for you to forget it? Because the old devil will keep whispering in your ear saying, ha, 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 you're going to teach Sunday school. Remember what you did there a few years back? Remember what you when you strayed from God? And the important thing, the point, we need to continue in the Bible. Let me ask you another question. Has every church continued in the Bible? A lot of churches that used to stick right to the Bible and to the stuff of the Bible have veered off. You know, it's like, well, that book's old. It's old, but it's still relevant. It's still applicable. It's still the same. You know, it's kind of like the Bible was relevant then, but not now. The same God that wrote it then is the same God that lives today. So how in the world should his word change if God didn't change? I mean, just think about that for a moment. Continue in the Bible. We need, Oak Mound, we need to continue in the Bible. And I sometimes I'm a little concerned that people just kind of assume that everything's going to stay the same way. You know, everything, you know, of course, Oak Mound, we stood in the Bible and we stuck to the Bible and we preached the Bible and we've taught the Bible and we always will. Well, praise the Lord. I appreciate that attitude, but it's not an automatic thing. I mean, we need to be diligent. Just like Paul was exhorting Timothy, you continue in the Word. And we as a church got to continue in the Word. And it's normally not like one day we're in the Word, boom, next day we're out of the Word. It doesn't work that way. It's a little bit here and a little bit there. I was backing out of a somewhat tight area today, and I was doing pretty good, but I got a little bit off course, and I got closer and closer. Just got scared Amy just a little bit because my mirror and this other mirror that I was backing up past, so, oh, mirror! I saw it. I knew I wasn't going to hit it, but I enjoyed seeing her. Yelp. No, just kidding. Just kidding. But I thought in my brain, you know, it just takes a little bit of that steering wheel being off when you back up in particular, just a little bit, and you kind of get off course. So I got past that car, but I pulled forward again and got things collected a little bit and got it straight. And then I backed right out of that pretty easily after that. That's the way churches get away from the Word of God. That's the way individuals get out of the Word of God, just a little bit, You know, I know what the Bible says, but that's okay. We're going to compromise a little bit on this. And, you know, we're not going to ask you to believe what the Bible says anymore. We're not even going to talk about doctrine. You know, churches have done this, and then boom, you got people. It's like then you have Sunday school class and you ask for input and you feel like ducking behind the pulpit or something because there's so much, like, I believe. Can I tell you, God really doesn't care what you believe. He's concerned about what the Bible says. So I simply say that to a church that don't assume that you'll always continue in the book. You need to be diligent. And your little spiritual antennas need to stay up sometimes. You know, if you're a child of God and you've been in the book a while and you've been a Christian for a while and you've been listening for a while, when someone says something that doesn't add up, you know, it ought to be ding, 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 ding. You can call it your dashboard lights come on. Seems like that happens a lot anymore. and this white van out there, you know, I found the best thing to do for that dashboard light. Just connect the battery, connect it back up. It disappears for a while. Fixed. But you know what? We need to make sure that we got a dashboard light comes on if someone, either from this podium or from the pulpit or in a Sunday school class or whatever, says something. You know, I like Sunday school class, and I like getting different people's opinions as long as it's biblically based. But sometimes if someone says something, or if you're watching a TV preacher, let me tell you, every TV preacher is not created equal, okay? They might be eloquent, they might be good looking, they might be dynamic, they may have all of the words and say it exactly right, perfect English, every word. But if it's not lining up with the Bible, the best thing for you to do, we got these amazing things called remote control. Do y'all remember the days you used to have to get up and go click, 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 click? You know, that's why you had kids, wasn't it?
Junior governor, teenage general.
That was a little before my time, but I do... I didn't have our boys doing it. But the idea is the best thing to do if you start hearing that is change the channel. You know, because people start listening to these people. I mean, I could name names. I know, and I venture to say that some of you have listened to some of these preachers. They're not preachers. They're not even true to the Word of God. You cannot be a gospel preacher considered by God to be a preacher if you're not preaching and teaching the whole Bible and the concepts and precepts of the Bible. And believe me, there's some, they sound really good. And they get up there and they smile and they just smile. Everything's good. Yeah. You need to avoid them like the plague. But continue in the Word. And shut them off. Don't buy their books. Don't listen to them because they're not true preachers of the gospel. And they're not sticking to the Bible. I'd rather have a country preacher that had a hard time using one sentence correct that stuck on the Bible than I would these eloquent, good-looking preachers on television who do not stick to the Word of God. All right. Continue in the Bible. Now, I can see right now, we're not going to get through this whole message. We're going to have to unplug here in a little bit. But that's big. I mean, really, continue in the Bible. And listen. Our kids and our grandkids have a tough time. Kids, grandkids, great-grandkids. I got kids. I don't have any grandkids yet. But you know, because some of you have grandkids. And this world is not getting any better, right? So you know the best example you can set is by continuing in the Bible. And even if they say, well, Grandma, Grandpa, I think that's old-fashioned. That's all right. It's in the Bible, and I'm going to do it. That's the best thing you can do. The worst thing you could do is veer just a little bit off. Before long, you're way off. And there were what makes us different is that we're different. That's pretty profound, isn't it? Not sure I've ever said it that way before. But what makes us different is that we're different. And that's a good thing. Our kids and our grandkids and our great-grandkids ought to look at us and say, you're different. And you say, amen, I am. I'm different than the world. I'm different than what you might hear at school. I'm different than probably what you're going to hear in the radio. I'm different than a lot of old liberal whacked out churches. You know why? Because I'm continuing in the Bible. That's big. We need a good dose of continuing in the Bible. Continuing in the Bible. Verse 15. So we're under the big point. God breathed the very words of the Bible into existence. As he's writing to Timothy, younger Timothy, continue in the Bible. Now this is big. Verse 15. We'll probably stop there tonight, most likely, but we'll see. And it says, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. You know, that's a great verse. I mean, it really is. Not only are we to continue in the Bible, secondly, under this main point number one, that God breathed the very words of the Bible into existence, the Bible teaches us how to be saved. The Bible teaches us how to be saved. Now, I kind of talked about that a little bit more earlier, but we would be so wiped out. And people that say, well, I'm on my way to heaven because I'm working my way there. That's not going to work. That's not going to work. Now listen, if we could work our way to heaven, why would Jesus have had to come? I mean, in the Old Testament, God gave them the law, right? And everybody kept the law perfectly, right? No, they didn't. Now, the law was, the Bible calls it like a tutor that pointed us to Jesus. We can't keep the law. So Jesus came to die on the cross. It's all in there. John 3:16 is in the book, in the Bible, right? So continue in the words you've been taught and you've learned. And remember that from a child you were taught the Holy Scriptures. And notice this, it even says, to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, not through works. I'm telling you, if you think you can work your way to heaven, you might as well just smack God in the face and say, ding-a-ling, why'd you send your son Jesus? Put him through all that for, because we can work our way to heaven. I'm telling you, you cannot work your way to heaven. You will find yourself disappointed and heading to hell rather than heaven if you try to work your way to heaven, because it just does not work. I have to share Ephesians 2:8-9. Whenever I talk about works, it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Gift. And then it says, not of works, lest any man should boast. I don't know about you, but that's about as clear as it gets. Again, in God's book, it says, not by works, not of yourself, but by grace through faith. You say, where'd the grace come from? The grace come from God, right? The grace said, here I am, I'm going to send my son Jesus. And Jesus said, great, I'm going. You know, he did not look forward to that, but he looked forward to the result of that, that he could take us to heaven. And he died upon the cross to pay for our sins. That's the grace of God shown to us, right? For by grace are you saved through faith. Who's got to have the faith? We do, that it really happened. That when we talk about the resurrection, it actually happened. The cross and the resurrection, the reason it's white, because he's alive. It's not black. That's what we had up there on Good Friday when he died, but it's white. He resurrected back to life. So we put our faith and trust. And you know what? We got to stick to that too. I mean, I'm amazed sometimes. People tell me about the churches they're in, and a lot of these churches used to be good. You know, at least by their title, they used to be a decent church, let's say, a decent church. And they don't have any clue about how to be saved. Are you saved? Well, I hope so. Maybe so. Think so. We sing a song. Remember the boys sing it? Boys and I sing a song. Don't give you that hope so, think so, maybe so salvation. When you base it on the Word of God, you can know whether you're saved or not. Now, I give some of them grace and understanding because they've been brought up in churches maybe, and they may truly be saved and just not know they're saved. It's kind of weird there because they're not taught assurance of their salvation. You know what I mean? Hello, did I lose everybody on that one? But the point is, there's only one way to be saved. That's by putting your faith and trust in Jesus. That's it. And it's according to the Bible. How big is God? And this is going to go a lot further than this, okay, but we're going to plug right there. How big is God? He's big enough to give us the Bible. God breathed, point number one. We didn't even get through the whole point. Point number one, God breathed the very words of the Bible into existence. So what do we need to do? We need to continue in the Bible. It teaches us how to be saved. And if we're not saved, we need to be saved. Now, I really believe that there's people in our Bible-believing and preaching churches that hear it week after week after week after week after week after week after week, and they still have never committed their heart and life to Jesus and said, Lord, forgive me. I believe Jesus died on the cross for me and resurrected back to life, paid my sin debt, and mean it from their heart. So, number one, if you're not saved, be saved. Nothing. I would rather spend my time after church talking to you about how being saved than doing anything else. Really, I would. So talk to me after church, if that's you. But for those that know Jesus, again, again, this should be a very proactive thing. It shouldn't be, well, we'll just kind of let it happen. No, I need to proactively continue in the Bible. Stick to the Bible. And if you kind of sense that your antennas don't quite work right whenever someone says something wrong, or you sense that your dashboard lights don't come on like they should, maybe it's because you don't know the Bible as well as you should. And you know the solution to that? I can put this Bible under my pillow for how many ever days I got left in the earth. And by the process of osmosis, it is not going to let me understand the Bible anymore. And can I say there's not a better way to spend your time than looking at this book? Studying this book. I'm not saying this to criticize, but just to challenge you. If you know, we're told to continue in the book. If I brought up certain topics of today, like homosexuality, where in the Bible does it tell us that that's unacceptable to God? You know, don't answer out loud, but I'm just saying, some people would say, wasn't there a story? Let me see. I think Paul. I mean, really, if we're going to continue in the book, we've got to know what the book says, right? And if I'd bring up some other things like, what's the purpose of a church? Every Christian here ought to know. You go to Acts chapter 2. That's where the church started. Look at what they were doing. That's what we need to be doing. And the only way we're going to continue in the book is by knowing the book. Or else you're not going to know when you're veering. As an individual, as a family, as a church. So let me challenge. I got a challenge for you, all right? You know, I challenge you 1 week to do 5 minutes of praise to start your days. Remember? 5 minutes of praise. Some of you followed through with that and did fabulous and said, I didn't realize time went by so fast. I did it more than 5 minutes. I'm going to encourage you. Now, some of you, You spend time in the Word of God already. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I might ask you to bump that up a little bit. You know, you say, well, I'll read a chapter. Well, maybe read a chapter and a half, 2 chapters. Something like that. So I'm not going to dumb it down if you're already in the book that much. Just try to bump it up. But for those that are so busy, it's like, Can I ask you and challenge you to spend 10 minutes a day reading the Bible? Now, I chose my words very carefully. Not reading a devotion book, reading the Bible. Now, there's nothing wrong with a devotion book. There's a lot of very good devotion books that people have written, and God has blessed those books, and they help us and all that. But I'm talking about in the Bible. Okay? Now, I'm going to ask you, I'm going to challenge you to do that, okay? Let's see. We're almost through the month of April. So I'm going to ask you through the rest of this month, through the month of May, to every day, Lord helping you, to spend at least 10 minutes a day reading the Bible. That's not so you can check a box and be a legalist, say, well, the preacher said. No, but I mean, this is just, if we're going to continue in the Bible, we got to know what the Bible says. And we're not going to know what the Bible says. You say, well, I've been a Christian for 50,000 years, I believe. No, you don't. You forget, and we're all a work in progress, and we all can learn some more. So I want everybody to understand the challenge. You may already read the Bible an hour a day. So I'm just asking you if you'd be willing to bump it up a little bit. Maybe 5 more minutes, an hour and 5 minutes. You know what I mean? Or if you're not reading at all, to at least 10 minutes a day for the rest of this month and into through the month of May. That's really not an unrealistic expectation. And please don't do it to make the preacher happy, okay? Do it to make God happy. And so that you can continue in the Bible. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? Would you bow your head and close your eyes? Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm not even going to look. Okay, I'm closing my eyes too. But before God, as a testimony before God, as a commitment before God, Lord helping you. Lord knows sometimes we got feeble brains and feeble memories and we forget. God's not going to strike you down if you forget and commit. Lord helping you, you're going to try your best to read the Bible for at least 10 minutes a day. At least 10 minutes a day. Let's just put it that way. At least 10 minutes a day. And again, you may read even more than that, but you can commit to this because you're already past it if you are. But reading the Bible at least 10 minutes a day. Would you raise your right hand up and say, Lord, help me. I commit to do that through the month of April and through the month of May. Okay, you can put your hands down. Again, I'm not looking. It's between you and God. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the challenge in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Lord, help us tonight primarily with our focus. Is you're an amazing God, and you gave us the Bible. But Lord, we kind of went on a kind of a sub-point that we need to continue in the Bible. And in order to continue in the Bible as individuals or as families or as a church, Lord, we got to know what the Bible says. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to remember these commitments that we've made before the Lord. Lord, remind us of that. Help us, Lord. Bind Satan's hands to get us off track. But Lord, I pray that this will be a real blessing to our hearts and lives as we spend at least 10 minutes in the Bible every day, Lord, through the rest of this month and the month of May. Lord, we thank you again for this amazing, amazing book that you've given to us, the very words that you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray.